Evening, good evening. We hope and pray that each of you are doing well today. Here it is the fourth day. Is this the fourth day or the fifth day of December? And truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us know that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. My better half is not with me tonight. She had a special call meeting. Many of you don't know that she is a full-time student working toward her doctorate degree. And so they had a meeting as she prepares for the next semester or the next cohort that they are going to have starting in January. But she's already received her syllabus. And so she's trying to make sure that she fulfills all of the requirements and the assignments, and so they are meeting tonight. But we do praise God for each of you. Just let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together. So I'll be riding solo, so y'all pray with me and pray for me as we make our way through this time together tonight. And so we bless God and we praise Him and we do magnify His holy name. For He alone is worthy of all of our praise. And even when I think of His goodness and all He's done for me, my soul immediately cries out. I've got to praise Him. I've got to magnify His name because He's been just that good. And so we thank God tonight for allowing us to gather virtually around His word. And as the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as a result of us believing God and standing on His word, I just believe tonight that somebody's faith is going to increase because you dared to spend some time around His word tonight and hearing what thus saith the Lord. We're going into a whole new level tonight as we talk about forming lasting relationships. And that's really an offshoot of our study in the Song of Solomon. As we ventured in and went through those chapters together. And we closed out a little early, and primarily was to just kind of focus in on that whole possibility of understanding how that ties in, talking about the Song of Solomon, 8 chapters there, how all of that ties in to what God is saying to us even today. And we know that we serve a God of relationships. We know that the Bible is a book about relationships. And so God is concerned about the totalness of man. All right, we're going to get it together. And so He didn't leave out anything, and everything that we need to be aware of or we need to know about or that we have issue with is found in the word of God. Somebody say amen. For the Bible tells us in Isaiah, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. So that helps us give a clear signal about how God is concerned about the totality of man and how He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to just enjoy this journey and know everything that we need to know as it relates to how God would want us to behave in any given situation. And so the Bible is full of narratives about relationships, and we'll find that God is concerned about the totality of man. Somebody say amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. And we'll do like we normally do before we jump in. We're going to just give you some foundational information about forming lasting relationships and just kind of get that started. Hopefully we'll be able to go through this for the next couple of Mondays before we take a break for the holiday and get ready for the new year. But we'll just give you some scriptures as we set the stage for what we're going to talk about as it relates to forming lasting relationships. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless You and we honor You and we do thank You now for this day. We thank You for Your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank You for we realize that in You we live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly, even tonight, that we are nothing without you. And so, God, we pray that you will speak to us tonight as we gather to study your word. Let your word indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so, God, we pray for our faith to increase. We pray for us to get clarity and understanding. We pray by the Spirit that you will speak to us even tonight and meet us, God, at the point of our needs. We pray for each person on this virtual Bible study tonight and those who will come back and view this study later. And God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Somebody give God some thumbs up. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Even if you have to use one of your little emojis to just show how much you appreciate what God is doing and what he's already done. You know, this past weekend was another exceptional weekend in the house of the Lord and around ATOP. God has blessed abundantly, even as we stand on tiptoe during this Advent season of anticipation and expectation. God is yet moving on our behalf. And so we praise God for mighty outpouring of his presence in the house on yesterday. Somebody say amen. And many of you who had an opportunity to be present know that the Spirit of God was high in the house on yesterday. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so we praise God for our new member coming forth. And we praise God for a house full and those who viewed virtually. But we talked in the second Sunday of Advent from the thought and the theme, blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, we're blessed to be a blessing. And so we looked at that whole passage in Luke's gospel, and you were familiar with that story. And many times during this time of the year, we go back and we revisit a lot of the stories that help give us clarity as it relates to what happened during the birth and how people were gathering and how God used people during that time and that season and how he chose people, unlikely people, to be messengers and how he used a girl named Mary and he used her in a powerful and a mighty way. He blessed her in abundance, and God began to do something powerful through her as it relates to her bringing forth the son of God's son, Jesus, even the Christ. And so we looked at second chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 25 through 35. These individuals in this particular passage of scripture is a favorite for me because it talks about Simeon and Anna, and you know, we really see the reference more so on Simeon than we do on his wife Anna. But we're clear from reading this passage of scripture that Simeon was a just and a devout man, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort. He was waiting for the Christ child. He was on tiptoe, if you will, waiting in anticipation on what the Old Testament had already proclaimed would come to pass. And the Bible says something very interesting in that, I believe it's that second verse, the 25th verse, it says that, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, I could have parked right there yesterday because, you know, it's amazing how even before the birth, God would use times throughout history where he would allow the Holy Spirit to be present for a particular reason or for a particular purpose or for a particular time so that people will be aware of what he was going to do even after Jesus left the earth. And so the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's really powerful right there. and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, guess what? That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he was looking in anticipation, and that's what the Advent story is all about. He was on tiptoe. And you know, when I used to play ball back in the day when we were undefeated in elementary school in Birmingham, Alabama at Center Street Elementary. You check the record, you ask somebody who's from Birmingham, they'll tell you that Center Street, we went undefeated. As a matter of fact, we had people who would not even show up for the game because they did not want to be embarrassed. We would literally run people out of the gym, and sometimes they would not score. I think one time a team came, they only scored 3 points, and we had like 63 points. But here's my message. Here's the point, is that our coach, his name was Coach Hasbury. He would have us to get on our toes, and he would have us to play defense in such a way that we would have to position ourselves to be ready to move, to be ready to make a cut, to be ready to do what we needed to do on defense. And that was even before they came up with all of these turnovers and all of that. We would not allow people to get across half court. We had so many options where we would set to get people confused. And the people were so upset because sometimes they would not even show up for the game. And so what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, just as we were playing ball back then and on our toes, it's similar to the way Simeon was in our text that we talked about on yesterday. He was on tiptoe. He was anticipating. He was looking. He was expecting something to happen. He was waiting, the Bible says, for the comfort of Israel, the consolation. And he knew that that comfort was going to come through the Lord's Christ, or that's how he described it, Jesus, in this text. And so the Bible says he came to the Spirit. The Spirit came upon him, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, talking about Mary and Joseph, brought the child Jesus into the temple to do as the custom of the law, here's what Simeon did. He took him up in his arms. Simeon was a priest. He took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen my salvation." Wow, can you just allow your sanctified imagination to try to wrap your mind around how Simeon must have felt? I mean, that was a powerful example of the power and the presence of God in his life, and how he had been anticipating, waiting, expecting God to do something. And it's clear indication here in this text that Simeon may have not even been in the rotation to serve that day, but he was led by the Spirit. I talked about how important it is for us to make sure that we press our way to the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody ought to say amen, because you'll never know what God might do and how he might elevate you in a situation just because you dare to press your way. Sometimes people get so caught up in trying to find reasons why they ought not come, but you ought not ever put anything in front of what God is trying to do and make excuses as for why you ought not come. "But I was glad when they said unto me," I'm getting excited, I better slow down, "let us go into the house of the Lord." And so it was with Simeon. He was excited, and the Holy Spirit led him. He had a chance to witness for himself what he had been praying and anticipating and believing God to do. And sure enough, he blessed Jesus. But not only did he bless Jesus, he blessed Mary and Joseph, and he gave them a powerful reminder about what this son, this child, he says in one of the verses, verse 34, "Then Simeon blessed them." So he was blessed, but he blessed them. He was blessed to be a blessing, and he was blessed by the birth of the Christ child. Isn't that something? And so he says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child,'" talking about Jesus, is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. He was making a strong prediction there, wasn't he? He was talking boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says that a sword will pierce through your own soul, and thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God has a way of revealing what's on the inside of us. And so Simeon was blessed, but he was blessed to be a blessing. So not only did he receive his blessing, but he also spoke a blessing. Many times we come waiting on a blessing, and sometimes we fail to be a blessing. I tell you, I feel a part two kicking up in my spirit around that text, because Simeon praised God because of who appeared. The Christ child appeared. He praised God because of why he arrived. And I talked about that, and he's praising God for what Jesus has accomplished. And so it is with us. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are loved to do some loving, and we are saved that we might help and get somebody else saved. And so a powerful time in the Lord, and we recognize those who have gone through an extended time of our leadership training, some 16 weeks, and they closed out with a powerful workshop on Saturday at Constance Abbey by feeding people and ministering to them, people giving their lives. My niece was telling me that one young man gave his life to the Lord. And you know, you can witness and you can lead people to Christ. And you don't have to just do it inside the four walls of ATOP. But it's our responsibility, it's our charge, it's our challenge as believers to let our light so shine in such a way that others might be able to see God moving and working in our lives. And sometimes that happens in the marketplace. Sometimes that happens on your job. Many times it will happen when you are in a situation like they were on Saturday, where they are ministering to people and people have questions. And so even if that man never makes his way to ATOP, I'm glad that he made his way into the Lord's heart, and God made his way into his heart. And so that's a soul saved for the kingdom. Somebody say amen. And so we count it a privilege and a joy to be, you know, leading people who are really catching the vision. That's what this whole institute was all about. People getting a sense of their giftedness and how they can use their gifts. Lady Kim and I attended the funeral of Brother Stanley Lifford's father. I was on program. Brother Joe Lifford went on to be with the Lord. I believe it was Thanksgiving Day. And so the funeral was during that time. We really hated to miss that workshop, the outreach module closeout, but we knew that the people were ready. And Dr. Butler stood tall and preached a powerful word, and the people served, and everybody had an opportunity to see firsthand the importance and the significance of our outreach ministry and how important that is for us to get outside the four walls of the church and minister to those who are in need. Many of us are waiting for people to come. No, we got to go get them. We got to go get them, and we got to go where they are. We got to minister to them where they are. And so I look forward to next year, where we're going to even extend that program far beyond what we're currently doing on the fourth Sunday. And I just see that Saturday being another opportunity for us to really connect with people in a powerful and a mighty way. So hats off to all of those who cooked, Dewan Whitmore and Sister Amelia, and all of those who prepared the food and served the food, and Dr. Quali Seymour just overseeing the whole process, and Dr. Butler and all of those who were on program. And we just knew in our spirits that it was going to be a powerful time on Saturday. And then Sunday, we praise God for our new member, Mr. Joe, who came for, he's been coming for a while, you know, almost over a year, decided that it was time for him to come and be a part of what he had been witnessing all that time. So let's give God some praise. Come on, somebody help me give God some praise even tonight. And we thank God for all of our leaders who are yet who finished the course, who stayed the course, 16 weeks, and we look forward to how we're going to engage all of them in the ministry, and I believe many of them are going to take on leadership responsibilities because they dared to trust God and to be open to what God was saying to them during the Institute for Leadership Training. So we praise God for each of you. Well, we're talking about tonight forming lasting relationships. I'm going to say a couple of things to kind of help us get focused, and then I give you a few scriptures. And since my partner is not here tonight, let me see if I can pull it up on one of the other platforms so I could be able to see those who are sharing comments. But one of the things we want everybody to be clear on is that when you talk about forming lasting relationships, we must remember now that it all begins with God. That's going to be key. If you expect God to be in the middle of what you're trying to accomplish, then you cannot allow him to be second place in what you're trying to do. God needs to be in first place. I'm trying to pull this up so I can see some of the comments. God needs to be first and foremost. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. And so it's important that if we're going to form lasting relationships, and this is just really an offshoot of the discussion that we had in Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon was really, it's almost parked in the middle of the Bible. It's a love story. It's a love song. It's really helps us understand the importance and the significance of relationships. And Solomon, as you know, was one of the richest men in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was the wisest man to ever live. And so he had found this Shunammite woman that caught his eye, and he began to form a lasting relationship with her. But here it is, as we said, it must begin with God, and then it must end with God. So how then, preacher, do we allow that to happen when I'm in a situation where I didn't allow God to begin it? The Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6 that he who has begun a good work in you is well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. So what are you saying? I'm saying that we have to make sure now that we go back and we capture God, and that we make God a part of our thought, our thinking, our process, everything that we are trying to get done, that we don't give him second place, we give him first place. And even if you're already in an established relationship, it's still not too late for you and your partner, or you and your spouse, to decide that you're going to turn and do what God would have you to do. And that requires you praying, reading, studying, fasting, being obedient to the word of God, being steadfast in your action, your what you believe about God, or to be a part of the action that you have. Faith without works is dead. And so if you believe that God is who he says he is, then your behavior ought to match your belief. Come on, somebody say amen. And so you have to make sure now that even if you're already in an established situation, that you go back and say, no, it's not working. Because I realize and I understand that everybody is not there, but that's the goal, is for you to get there. And you have to be confident in, first of all, in your relationship with God before you want to really establish a lasting relationship with somebody else. So what are you saying, Reverend? I'm saying that your vertical relationship with God has to be intact. even if you're already in a relationship, or you considering matrimonial bliss, and you're on the verge of trying to make that connection, you have to be confident, first of all, in your relationship with God. It begins with God and it ends with God. And that vertical relationship has to be in place. And you have to make sure that you have saturated yourself in the things of God, and that you're walking and you're doing what you understand about what you already know, what you've already learned. You're putting it into practice. And I tell you, God is going to honor you for that. And then that vertical relationship, watch this now, it increases your ability to overcome those horizontal relationships that may go south, or those relationships where, you know how sometimes people put more trust in another individual than they do in God? You don't have to say amen right there. I already know that that's true. And then when things start to fall apart, many times those who have not had proper relationship with God, they want to come and allow and ask God to straighten up a mess that if they had been following God from the very outset, it would be much easier for them to overcome. Because, you know, no relationship is beyond going through difficulty, trials, and tribulations. No relationship. Because Jesus himself says that in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Talking about our vertical relationship now. This is really key. Be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. And so he's speaking that to those who have a proper vertical relationship with him. And so many times when we see things that doesn't match what we believe about where we know God is leading us, and we run into something or a person that does not live up to our expectations based upon what we think God is saying to us, we can fall apart. We'll fall off the rail. We'll lose it. We'll start tripping real bad, because you have put more confidence in a person. And I wish I had my better half sitting here next to me, because you have put more confidence in a person than you have put in God. And so when it starts falling apart, the relationships start turning sour, people will let you down. I know I've got some witnesses out there who can, let me see if I can pull this up so I can see the comments. I need to see if y'all are following me here tonight. People will let you down. Does anybody believe that tonight? And so we have to be mindful of the fact that when things turn sour, when people let you down, when situations don't go according to what you would anticipate them to go, you have to continue to keep your trust in God and lean not into your own understanding. And the Bible tells us in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, we have to acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path. For the Bible says that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And so we have to make sure that we're in proper relationship with God. And so when things do start going off the rail, and when things start happening contrary to what we would like to see them happen, then let me turn this down. I see some of you making comments, and I'm glad to see each of you on the call. I'm just getting connected here. But I see my good friend in Los Angeles, Dr. Tunstall, and several others making comments here. And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to write down all the comments, and then we'll come back and we'll deal with those questions that you might have, or, you know, particularly the questions that you might have. And that will help us forming the next phase of this particular time that we're going to spend. Hopefully we'll get a chance to go through the remainder of December talking about forming lasting relationships. And so we're talking now about the vertical relationship and how important that is to be established. It begins with God, and it should end with God. And many times, if a person is not equally yoked, you see that in the Bible, sometimes we allow the flesh to really manifest itself over what God is saying, and we start looking at how beautiful a person might be, or how sensual they are, and how attracted we are to them, and we allow that to override our faith and our belief in what God would have for us. And many times we fall into that trap of going after what our eyes see rather than what our spirit is trying to tell us. And so we're looking for a certain person, we're looking for the right mate, and many times that might not be the person, all right, here it is, that God has destined for your life. And so we find ourselves being stuck in relationships, and we find ourselves being stuck with people, and then the relationship moves from forming a lasting relationship to the point where you are trying to see how you can get out of the relationship. But watch this now. You should never, ever, my brother or sister, enter into a relationship or marriage with divorce as an option. I see somebody mention that, and I can't read them and talk at the same time. That's why I'm encouraging you to go ahead and put down your questions, and then we'll come back and go back through the thread, and we'll use that as a platform for what we will share on next week. And Lady Kim and I will have some thought along that process. But even as we're talking about that, I want to let you be clear on a couple of things now. There are no perfect relationships. Be mindful of that now. If you're trying to get involved in a perfect relationship with a perfect person, then and you feel as if you are the one that has everything together and that you are that perfect person, then you're going to mess it up, because there are no perfect people. Here's another thought. There are no perfect marriages. I know many times people admire different couples, and they look at situations without being in them, and they think, oh my God, that's a perfect situation. No, there are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect relationships. The only one who's perfect is God. God never changes. The Bible tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so, as couples, and I'm speaking from over 40 years of experience with my lovely wife, my beautiful wife, Kim, and we're still on our honeymoon after 40 years. And I tell the story all the time about how she ran me down, and I just finally gave in. I had no other choice, because she kept coming after me. So I finally gave in, and I asked her to marry me. Now, that's my story. That's my side of the story, and I'm sticking with it. So she can explain her side of it once she comes back on. But we've been together over 40 years now. And, we've had some difficulties. We've had some ups. We had some downs. People look at us and they may say, oh, they're so anointed. They're so perfect. No, don't you take that out of your mouth, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I see somebody saying, stick with your side. Let me see. What is that? Well, he says, stick with your story, Dr. Murray. I see that. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, Lady Kim might have another side to the story, but that's my side, and I'm sticking to it. And so, we've gone through a lot. We were up in Chicago with my sister-in-law, Kim's sister, over the Thanksgiving. And, the fella, he said something. I think we were getting in the car. And he said something to the fact about, you know, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I said, well, you see my glory, but you really don't know my story, you know. And so a lot of times people look at situations and they say, oh, if I could be in their shoes. No. You don't know what people had to go through to get to where they are. You don't know some of the difficulties, some of the trials. I share my testimony all the time, Lady Kim, 26 years cancer-free. I'm a cancer survivor myself, had multiple surgeries, gone through a lot, didn't just fall out of the boat into the situation that we in, went through some difficulties, some hard times, some challenging times that even challenged us as couples. But we found enough of God in us to stick it out and to pray it out and to seek the face of God and to continue to trust him even when we couldn't trace him. And there were times when we didn't know what the end was going to be like. And so we started where most young couples start: food stamps, a two-bedroom apartment, a car that was not running, you know, smoking and all of that kind of stuff. And so now people see me riding around in a big old Hummer and all of that, and my wife riding good and looking good. You don't know our story. You just see the glory. And so be mindful of how you try to decide that you want to be what somebody else is, or you want to live like somebody else, when you don't know what they've gone through. I tell you what we've gone through, I could take time now and just call the roll. But it's amazing how God kept us in that season. And we had doctors looking at us, telling us that there was no way. They were speaking death. But we decided and decreed and declared that we were going to speak life. We shall live and not die, said the Lord. And we decreed and we declared that over ourselves. And we walked out of a lot of situations, even when we didn't know what the end was going to be like. And God stepped in and made a way out of no way. Hallelujah. And so what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that even in situations that you find yourself in as a couple, don't run at the first sign of difficulty. Don't back away at the first sign of things look like it's going off the rail. Because a faith that's not tested is one that cannot be trusted. Let me say that again. I say a faith that's not tested, somebody need to put that in the margins, is a faith that cannot be trusted. God many times takes us through different situations to give us an opportunity to see where our faith is. And many times if we back away and we run away at the first sign of disaster, or, you know, God specializes, hallelujah, in this house. He specializes and stepping in just in the nick of time. I mean, you can be on the mat in the boxing arena with you on the floor, and the referee has his hand up and getting ready to count you out. He's already at 9. But can I tell somebody tonight that God will step in even at the 9th hour, and he'll turn that situation around? The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who called according to his purpose. And many times the things that test our faith, the things that try us, are the very things that we don't want to have a part of. We want everything to be smooth and a flower bed of rose. No, it doesn't work like that. James tells us in that first chapter, he says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Here it is for couples, knowing that the trying of your faith is what worketh patience. But let patience, the Bible says, have a perfect work. So you got to let patience have a perfect work. You can't just say, okay, I'm tired, that's enough. No, you got to let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we work through that process. It's an ongoing process that has to happen for God to perfect you and to bring you to where he would have you to be. And you'll come out the way God anticipates for you to come. So you have to grow together in Christ. That's part of what I'm trying to get you to see. We have to grow together as believers, and then you have to be intentional about your desire to please God. So we're talking about forming lasting relationships, and there are so many questions I know that people have in their minds, and they want to jump right into the middle of their situation and look for an answer. Listen, my brother, look this way, my sister. I might not have the answer that you're looking for, but I do know a God who has all the answers. And if we trust him, if we're obedient to him, if we follow his mandate and live by his word, God will step in just in the nick of time. And so one of the things that I want to share with you, and this is going to be an ongoing discussion, one of the things I want you to really be clear on, that a lot of times the reason for failure and for breakdown and for breakup is because we model what we have been raised in, and the family situations that have really kind of set the tone for what we think relationships ought to be. Let me see if I can say that another way. We need to make sure that we be around, we see positive relationships to help keep you focused. Now, a lot of us, a lot of you, a lot of people, I'll put it this way, perhaps are yet holding on by a thread, and they're trying to make sense of everything that they are going through, and you have not fully vested yourself in the vertical relationship with God, but you've just gone kind of real easy when it comes to that vertical relationship. And then when the horizontal relationships start to come into play, you put more attention on that. But it's the vertical relationship that drives the horizontal relationships to keep you on point and to keep you centered and to keep you focused. And so some people are able to make the transformation when they are around positive influences, when they have come out of a healthy family situation. Because much of what we bring to our relationships, watch this now, and this is my good friend who's gone on to be with the Lord, Dr. Herman Holmes. Much of what we bring to our relationships is basically what we grew up seeing in our homes. Yeah. And many times it's subconsciously dealt with in ways that we don't know how to speak about what we've gone through. In my premarital counseling, I used to have Dr. Holmes to do 3 or 4 sessions for me in terms of helping people understand the importance and the significance of the roles that they played while they were growing up as children, and how they bring that same energy to into play when they become husband and wife, or when they find themselves in a situation where they, I'm trying to read all of this myself, and Dr. Qualis, I see that you placed a prayer request there, and we're going to come back and deal with that here in a few minutes. But many times when you have positioned yourself in a relationship that you grew up in your home, and there are different orders that establish, I don't have this information right before me, but I'm just basing it off what Dr. Holmes would just rattle off. He could probably wake up at 3 o'clock. I think I saw Dr. Sister Carolyn on the call. He could probably wake up and just start talking about all of these different relationships, whether you're a middle child or whether you're the oldest or whether you're the youngest, and how all of that plays into the relationship that you find yourself in. But basically what I'm saying is what we grow up seeing in our homes is really, it sits there in our relationships, and many times it will drive the way you see things and how you go about making decisions and how you go about dealing with people, because some people are able to make the transformation out of a bad situation and turn that bad situation into a good situation because they have surrounded themselves not continuing to live in the past, but they have surrounded themselves with positive relationships, and they see models of behavior that matches the belief that God has instilled in couples. But some people are never ever able to separate themselves from the abuse that happens in relationships, and the separation that had occurred, and the husband walking out on the wife, or the wife walking out on the husband, toxic relationships, abuse, and relationships, we see that they are basically the result of the spirit that has perpetuated itself over a number of years. And so that spirit will sit right in the middle of the table. And if it's not addressed, if it's not dealt with, say, for example, your dad, you know the song, I think it was The Temptation, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he lay his hat was his home, you know. And we see that growing up, and we get a sense of that. And you think that that's the way you're supposed to live. But no, that spirit will sit right in the middle of the room, and it will continue to take over the relationship because we have not properly dealt with that stronghold that's hovering over our relationship, hovering over our house, hovering over our lives. And so we have to speak to that by faith, and we have to call those things that be not as though they already are. And we have to speak it and claim it, and we have to break strongholds and destroy the yokes that keep us in bondage, because if you don't deal with it, it's going to take over, and it will manifest itself in a way where it will go through generations and in families, and before you know it, everybody is looking for what do they call them? A second piece or a side piece and all of that kind of foolishness. And even if you got people in the house who are alcoholics, it's hard if you're not in God to break that cycle and to break that curse that's over your life, because that's all you've seen, that's all you grew up with. But praise be to God, if you start with God, and if you speak it and call it into existence and allow God to do some things in your situation to help break those curses, I believe that it will happen. I know it will. And so I praise God today for I praise God today for how he will come in and make a way somehow. How many of you believe that? And so we're talking about forming lasting relationships. And as I said from the beginning, those of you who are just joining us, Lady Kim had a meeting about her class, and she is a full-time doctoral student, and they meet every twice a year, and they're trying to prepare now, and she's got so much work backed up on her, and so this is the first time that they've had a meeting and preparing for January's cohort, where they're going to meet for a week together. But listen, my brother, look this way, my sister. We're going to talk about this thing. We're going to flesh it out. And Dr. Qualise, I'm not able to really capture all of the comments and the questions. If you could do that for me and help transcribe that, it would be great, because we really want in our next time together to talk about how we can allow God to speak to us in the midst of what we're going through, and some of the things that we can overcome by praying and by fasting, and then being intentional in terms of our desire to please God and then allow what we believe about God to match our behavior. I'm telling you, that's key. And so, you know, when we talk about forming lasting relationships, that's when we start talking about God's love. God is love. As a matter of fact, John 3:16 says that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're talking about God's love. We're talking about how God would have us to behave in relationships based upon what he's done for us. That's what we're talking about Sunday, how we're blessed to be a blessing, and how when we understand the significance and the importance of the birth, then it helps us to bring clarity in terms of what God would have for us to do as it relates to us being a blessing, because God blessed us through the birth of Jesus Christ. And he just didn't do it just for it to happen, but he blessed us so that we might be a blessing. Now, there are different, one of the things that we're going to look at, and this is a book that by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. That's where we really were going to go in terms of forming these lasting relationships. We didn't purposely intend to have this kind of discussion at the end of our Songs of Solomon study, but the Song of Solomon was a romantic love story. That's what it was all about. And so there are different ways for us to understand just how God would have us to behave when it comes to expressing love toward each other, because there are different kinds of love, and you've heard them, eros and philia and agape kind of love. And then there's a stoic kind of love. That's really a love between, a stoic love is a love between family members. A good example would be Ruth and Naomi, you know that story. And then there's a filial kind of love. That's a brotherly love. That really deals with emotional bonds that we have toward each other that connects people together. That has to do with friendships and relationship, like David and Jonathan. I'm just kind of giving you some examples. And then in John 13:35, here's what Jesus says. It says, by this, everyone, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. But then there's the agape kind of love. That's the highest form of love. That's the kind of love that God has for us. And if you really want to see how love behaves, of course, 1 Corinthians, that 13th chapter, it gives us clarity in terms of what love should look like in the behavior, and how it's not boastful, and how all of those adjectives are described in that 13th chapter of how love looks. And so we're going to deal with most of those and try to talk about some of these. But one of the things we really wanted to get at was to try to deal with the five love languages. And there is a universal language that goes across all spectrums. That's the language of love. But there are five, what Chapman describes here as five love languages, that really help couples get a sense of what to expect from their spouse, or what to expect from their significant other, and how to make sure that the relationship that you're forming is one that's going to last. Because many times we end up missing out on what the language of our partner, and we just take things for granted. But there are some driving forces that really should give you a signal in terms of what, and I'm trying to find a better word than this, but the things that really get your spouse excited, and how that's the driving force. You know, Lady Kim and I, we still go out on dates. We still hang out like that. And there's an old song that we always make reference to. The same thing it took to get your baby hooked, it's going to be the same thing you need to do to keep her. And so you can't just win the prize and then sit down. You know, you got to stay busy. You got to stay active. You got to continue to go on dates. You got to continue to hold hands. You got to continue to send flowers, not just on birthdays or special occasions. You got to make sure you tell each other that you love them. And so Coleman, his name is Gary Coleman, and we didn't order any books, but you're welcome to. You might be able to even download some of his information, because there are so many people out there that have things that they want to share, a commentary about what they think you ought to do and how you ought to behave in a certain situation. But I'm encouraging you to consult with God. No relationships are the same. So what works for Pastor Murray and Lady Kim might not work for you. And what works for somebody else might not work for you either. But you've got to make sure that you are clear, as we talked about earlier, starting out with God, and then make sure that you end with God. And in the middle of everything that's going on, stay focused, be consistent, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So your behavior ought to match your belief. And when you get the signal from God, then it will give you marching orders. And when your partner is on board with you, y'all are praying, y'all are touching and agreeing, y'all are believing God, y'all are talking about scripture other than on Bible study and on Sundays when you hear the message. But y'all are praying together, and y'all are believing God, and y'all are in agreement with how God has set things in order and how the house ought to be established. I tell you, it's so much. It's a lot. And so we're going to stop right here. I'm going to see if I can pull. I think Dr. Qualis was sending me some prayer requests. There's a prayer request here tonight. Dr. Qualis, if you could send those to me, because I'm trying to juggle both of these. I've had my iPhone here, but I'm not able to pull everything from the study tonight. But Jamie Chris, he's asking prayer for Irma Bonnet and family. She lost her brother this morning, and so we definitely want to do that and keep them in prayer. And of course, we want to continue to pray for Stanley Lifford and his family, as his father passed and the homegoing was this past Saturday. And there are others. We know that the C family lost a loved one, and they went to Georgia to very relatively young lady. She was young from what I hear, and but we definitely want to continue to pray. This is a season where we need to be prayerful, and we need to be serious about the mandate that God has given us as believers. And so Dr. Qualis says she doesn't see any more, but we praise God for each of you. Our time is upon us, and next week I'm going to share a little bit about understanding these five love languages. And if you want to go ahead and get that book by Gary Chapman, you can do that. But we also are going to talk about how scripture applies to that. And he shares some scripture in terms of helping bring clarity to that. But you'll find that there is a love language for each couple. And if you connect with your spouse's language, then it will help establish and form that lasting relationship that we're talking about. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you, and we're going to close out with prayer now, but we're certainly grateful. And Lady Kim, she had a call meeting tonight with her class, as they are preparing for January's time together. And she began to rattle off all of her assignments, and I tell you, she's going to be loaded down, full-time student, working full-time, being a wife full-time, has full-time responsibilities at the church. That's a lot. And so I have to just make sure that I make room for what she needs to do and don't get in the way. All right, I see somebody looking crazy right there, but let's go ahead and go and close tonight with prayer. And many of you will probably be with me on tomorrow as we have our inspirational moment each Tuesday at 7 a.m. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to spend together tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, for just giving us clarity and a sense of a yearning to learn more and to do more. And God, we pray for each person on this study tonight, and we pray for relationships tonight. Some relationships are fragile. Some are seeking and trying to get involved in relationships. Others are trying their best to hold on, and they are holding on by a thread. But we know you to be a healer and a deliverer, and we know that all power is within your hands. And so, God, we pray that you will just breathe a fresh wind on these couples and on situations, that you will blow a fresh anointing their way that will allow them to stop and pay attention and understand the mandate that you have prescribed in your word, and that they won't wait till next week. They will dig into that word and find out what it is you would have for them to do. So we love you today, and we honor you, and we bless your name. And now, God, we lift up those who are bereaved, and Sister Barnett and the loss that she's going through even now. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to strengthen and encourage us. And then, God, show yourself strong on our behalf. So we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. We feel a mighty move of your spirit taking place at Anointed Temple of Praise. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will keep us on our toes in anticipation of what you're going to do next. So we thank you now, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, you'll be blessed, and hope you have an enjoyable rest of the evening. And we'll talk to you real soon. Until next time, you be blessed. Good night.